It's just burning in my soul this morning. I'm going to ask you to turn to Romans chapter 12, but I want to just kind of open up with some other thoughts to lead into the message this morning. I want to minister a message entitled, The Dangers of the World. The Dangers of the World. Now, we use that term, the world, and I think everybody may have a bit of a different definition of what we're talking about. And it's not easy to define what the world is. It's not an easy definition. Back in the 1800s, 1873, Bishop Richard Trench laid a definition to this term, the world. He said that the world is all that floating mass of thoughts and opinions and maxims and speculations, the hopes, the impulses, the aims, and the aspirations that are at any time current in the world, which may be impossible to seize upon and accurately define, but yet it constitutes a very real and effective power. As we were worshiping, I thought about my little granddaughter back there. We were in a meeting yesterday, and she happened to be there. We were closing the meeting in prayer, and when she realized that prayer was going on, she's two, she went like this. And so me and my wife, her grandparents, we went like this with her. And we all prayed together. And I think about that little innocent soul who is going to grow up just like you and I did. And over the course of the next 18, 20, 25 years, her life is going to be warped and twisted by the world system. Just like you and I. Think about, you were just as innocent when you were a little baby, but think about what you were the day before you got saved. You had been warped and twisted by this effective power that's called the world. Now, Bishop Trent gave kind of a wordy definition to it. I have a much simpler definition, and I think it's biblical. The world is human society lived outside of the presence of God. If you'll go back to Genesis and you read when Cain, after he murdered his brother, he left Eden. He went east of Eden to a place called Nod, a city that he established called Nod. And there he raised a society that lived outside of the presence of God. He fled from Eden. He fled from the presence of the Lord and established this society that lived outside of the influence of God's presence. When you look at the world today, the entire world is lived outside of the presence of God and will not let him in. In fact, in Revelations, he said to one of the churches, I stand at the door and knock. I'm trying to get in. If you'll just let me in, he could fix our situation. But the scientific community won't let him in. The educational system will not let him in. The judicial system will not let him in. And many, many households will not let him in. They do not want him. That is what the world is. And it presents a very clear and present danger to the Christian because we are in the world, but we're not of the world. And sometimes we get that confused in our mind. And I don't want to beat anybody up this morning. That's not my spirit. But if Beyonce puts on a new weave, it comes right into the house of God. On the heads of God's people. If Meek Miles or one of the rappers, if they do a new thing, it comes right into the house of God. And so we need to be aware that the world presents a danger to us because if you don't like the conviction of God, it's easy to live outside of his presence. You have to actually embrace his presence, embrace his conviction. Now, the scripture gives us any number of warnings, if you will, concerning the world. And again, that definition is human society lived outside of the presence of God. Now, let me talk about that. Before I get into the scripture, let me talk about that again a little more. You should have the presence of God in your home. The presence of God should be there. You should have prayed your house in by now and broken in with prayer. And it means that wherever that you go, you carry the presence of God with you because you are the light of the world. You're not part of the world. You're the light. You're the illumination. It's all the illumination the world has is what we bring to it. And so it's important then that we don't begin to be conformed to the world rather than to present a light, the influence of the presence of God to the world. Romans chapter 12, and I'll just read verse 2. The Apostle Paul says this, it's a warning. Be not conformed to this world. Now the word conform, the definition is to become similar in form, nature, or character. It means to be assimilated and to become like the world, to mimic the world. Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but rather than that, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It means the Holy Spirit comes into your life and heart. He starts changing you up here. How many know this is where sin starts? It starts up here. Always. The devil fights here, but God is trying to renew this. Even while we're in the world, he's trying to renew our minds and give us the mind of Christ so that just as Jesus Christ, he was in the world, but he was no part of the world. He was not involved in any of the world's systems. And I'm going to be honest, the world is doing everything right now to create a vortex that will pull the church in. It's strongly being performed right now by politics. You're not a Democrat, you're not a Republican, you're not an independent, you're a Christian. Amen. You are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Now, we happen to have dual citizenship, so you ought to vote. That's good. You're a citizen here, you should vote. But you're not in their system. You're in the kingdom of God, and that's where your whole thought, your whole thrust, your whole direction should come from. So Paul says, no matter what happens, don't get pulled into the pettiness of this world, but rather you be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you might prove, you might demonstrate what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Don't be conformed. The world is pulling at you. It's tugging at you. The fashion world is tugging at you. The Hollywood productions, they're tugging at you. The music industry is tugging at you. Come on. The sports industry is tugging at you. All of these things are the world. Someone said, you mean the NFL is the world? Absolutely, it's the world. When you go to the Super Bowl and you sit in the stadium on the 50-yard line, there is no presence of God there, none. Why are you there? I know it steps on the little toes, but we've gotten so comfortable with the world that we can no longer connect the dots. You know, the world, anytime they put on some type of style, we jump on it as hard as they jump on it. And the scriptures tell us, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed, be different, be a light to the world. It goes on in 1 John chapter 2. Several of the apostles spoke on this, and it's very important for us to take heed to it, because the world is getting ready to show its teeth towards the church. The world hates you. I don't care how much you cozy up with them. If you are a Christian, if you represent Jesus Christ, they hate you. And we're right at the door that they're getting ready to show their teeth in a very real way. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, do not love the world. Don't fall in love with this present evil world. Don't fall in love. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. It means all of the things that they use to capture our attention. Don't fall in love with those things. Many, many Christians now are absolutely addicted to social media. Social media is a drug. When you have to pick it up to see what the posts are, who posted what, it releases dopamine in your brain. It's a drug that's produced by your body that gives you a sense of well-being. Dopamine is released, and you become addicted to that release of dopamine. That's why you can't put down the social media. You are addicted. Love not the world. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we got that dopamine release in prayer? Wouldn't that be wonderful? If we got on our knees and just bombarded heavens until the dopamine was released and we're in the presence of God, that's really why he put it in our bodies. But it's been perverted by this present evil world. And then you get on these platforms, and I don't care which one you're on. If you're just on it 30 minutes, you'll notice it goes down, 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 until suddenly you find yourself right at the door of pornography. That's what it does. Well, I'm just telling the truth, saints. Someone says, oh, no, it's just my friends and family. It's designed so you can have intrusion into your friends and family to try to pull you into the world system. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now here, God said, I'm a jealous God. That's the scripture. And a Christian is to be in a love affair with his creator. As the creator loves us, we are to love him. But when you're in a love affair with the creator, but you're also romancing the world, that presents a problem. It says, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because, here's why, because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. The things you see now that are prevalent, here's another way you know the world. When the crowd is running to it, that's the world. It's the broad gate that leads to destruction. That's the world. And you can know it because the real people of God will never be in the big crowd. They won't be there. They'll always be seeking the face of God somewhere. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Excuse me. How many are dealing with allergies? And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Now, in the book of James, chapter 4, James really brings this to a head for us. James, chapter 4. And I'll begin reading verse 4. And he starts out by saying, you adulterers and adulteresses. Now stop right there. That's pretty stout talk, isn't it? I mean, that's pretty straightforward. He is not talking to the world. He's talking to the church. And so you would ask, well, why would he use that kind of language? It seems belligerent. An adulterer or an adulteress is someone who is in a dual relationship. Is someone who is in relationship with God, but at the same time is in relationship with the world. And we as Christians need to understand the danger of that, because as much as I love Sister Lincoln, I've been with her all of my life. If I wake up one morning and Sister Lincoln is in relationship with me and in relationship with Bobo, we got a problem in the Lincoln household. We got an issue. No, you're the same way. And you know why you're that way? Because God made you in his image. He made you like him. And so when we're in relationship with him and at the same time trying to be in relationship with this present evil world, there's a problem in the house of God. It causes an issue. There's a disruption of the relationship. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Now, friendship is it's a romance relationship. You're romancing elements of the world. He says that friendship with the world is enmity. The word means hostility towards God. You can't have them both. You got to let go of one of them, or one of them's going to let go of you, and the devil don't let go. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I don't know what translation you have. I'm reading King James, which I think is a good translation, but that's strong language. Now, I imagine the newer translations may have watered this down a little bit, but I don't think any of us want to be an enemy of God. See, here's the danger is that the world is so seductive, it's so deceptive that many times we can embrace it and we don't even realize what we're doing. I wonder if we took a poll, how many Christians are absolutely addicted to major league sports? And I'm not saying you can't watch a game. That's not what I'm teaching at all. And watching a football game is not sin. But when you have embraced that thing to where you miss church on Sunday morning because it's Super Bowl day, you're addicted. But and again, you will never get an anointing while you're crying out for the Lakers, while you're, you know, having a praise meeting for the Cowboys. And isn't it funny how people can be all fanatical when it comes to their sports heroes, but they come to the house of God, they're like timid little mouse. That tells you that you're more comfortable and more in love with the things of the world than you are with the Lord himself. We should breathe worship. We should just breathe it in and breathe it out daily. But the world is a very present danger to you and I. It can produce a wrecked salvation if we embrace it, because what it does is it pulls you down. How many know Satan is called the god of this world? The whole system, the whole world system is pulling you into obedience to his way. Now, here's how seductive the world is. Here's how strong the danger is. When Satan himself came to Jesus in the temptation, he first tempted him. Each temptation was progressively harder. He said, make these stones into bread. And Jesus put the word on him, and the devil jumped back. He said, well, I'm going to have to come harder than that. So he said, cast yourself from the pinnacle of the temple. He hit him with the ego and pride. And again, Jesus rebuked that through the word. And so his third temptation, it was the strongest temptation he had. He said, all the kingdoms of this world and the glory of them will I give you. And saints, that same temptation is given to you. I will give you the world. I just need your worship. See, Satan is not trying to satisfy. The world is not trying to make you happy. They will make you happy, but they're trying to get what they get. I liken the world, if you'll pardon the analogy, I liken the world to a prostitute. A prostitute knows how to make herself beautiful. She knows how to make herself desirable. But within, there's a darkened heart. And no matter how beautiful or how desirable she's made herself, if you marry her, you're going to be in for a world of hurt. The same is true with the world. It can make itself presentable. It can make itself desirable. But you need to look at that heart, because in his heart is trying to pull you into the darkness of damnation. Saints, this world is dangerous. Don't play with it. Don't play with it. Right now, every Christian, you ought to be slowly withdrawing from all your social platforms. You should be withdrawing from the places of the world, because they're getting progressively more dangerous. You can just go to a ball game and something pops off. And you get shot in the parking lot, just a Christian at the ball game. And so little by little, and you know, we think in our minds, oh my God, that's a big ask. That's a big ask, Pastor, for me to just withdraw. It's just like salvation. Satan makes it seem like you can't do nothing, when in fact you have liberty not to do those things anymore, and you're now in this wide open space of liberty. I have not been a ball game, football, basketball, hockey, 37 years. Don't miss it at all. I haven't watched it on TV. I don't even read who won. Don't care. It means nothing. Just totally withdraw from it. It's very doable, and you won't miss it once you're no longer addicted to it. You won't miss it at all. But even the places of the world, you know, why would a Christian be in Las Vegas? Don't they call that Sin City? Isn't that the name of it? I know this ruffles our feathers a little bit because some of us was just there. But you have to question, why am I doing this? I'm not scolding us this morning. I'm saying connect the dots. Connect the dots. There's no anointing at the casino. You're not going to get anointed there. And as a matter of fact, that city is built, but it's outside of the presence of God. Now, somebody could get saved there. God's omniscient. He's everywhere. But I'm saying that you're probably not going to get a good anointing at the casino. So why would we be there? And then take that same test across all portions of your life. Here's what the Bible teaches. Live a simple life. A simple, humble life. As our society continues to fall apart, you know, it's getting to the place you can't go to a restaurant. I just read about the person, he just went to jail. I can't think of the name of the food place. It might have been Chick-fil-A or something. I don't want to use their name. I can't think of the name of the place. But they arrested some of the workers for spitting in the food. The world is wicked and evil, and we can't depend on them. So I said, well, I want to go eat out. Go call your brother in Christ and say, hey, let's have a barbecue. Amen. That's the way it used to be done. So I said, well, I want to talk to my friends and family. Why don't you drive over there and spend a couple hours with them and just have a good time with your family? But now we look to social media to connect us when that human connection that you had, if you grew up with that person, you don't need technology to talk to them. Just talk to them. Saints, the world is very dangerous to you and I, and we have to be wise as serpents. We have to use great wisdom that we don't get caught up in something because we didn't know that God was not pleased with it. Friendship with the world is enmity with God, and whosoever is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Now, that's the Bible. That's pretty strong. I mean, God is, he's laying out how he feels about it. Jesus said this. You know, the world is calling. The world is putting systems in place to try to grab our attention. But here's what Jesus said. My sheep know my voice. And a stranger they will not follow. And we need to start using some discernment to make sure that what we're following is not the voice of Satan in the packaged as the world that has on all the beauty and the subtlety of a prostitute, when in reality it's a demon behind that thing. It's the devil behind it. So my people know my voice. I remember it's been a number of years. Maybe 8 years. My wife and I were in California. We went back to where we first were together at. And it was a good trip, Coronado. It was wonderful. But while we were there, we thought, well, let's go over here. SeaWorld is right here. Let's go to SeaWorld. So we thought, okay, we'll go to SeaWorld. And they have the big, some kind of whale, the black and white whale. And we're sitting in the stadiums and we're watching the whale. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God came on me so hard in conviction. As I watched all these people, and I'm sitting there, everyone is worshiping this fish who's jumping in and out of the water. And I was trying to contain myself. My wife was there. I was embarrassing her, but I was weeping and I was crying loudly. Because I could feel the displeasure of God, and we got up and we got out of there. Now, is it evil to go watch a fish? No, but be careful what you're connecting yourself to. Because some people may not have, I've been saved for 3 decades, going on for, and so you grow discernment over that time. You may be a younger Christian, but you need to exercise discernment in what you're attaching yourself to. You may think it, and it may present itself as Christianity. But if it's Jezebel, God's not going to bless you there. He's not going to bless you there. Jesus said, if you were of the world, we're not. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're here just to be the light of the world. He says, John 15:19, if you were of the world would love his own. But because, number one, you are not of the world. Number two, I've chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. Now, the scripture can't be broken. And you may have businesses, you may have people that are just saying, oh, we just love, you know, the Christians. But in just a few days, you're going to see that thing flip. You're going to see it flip. And it's going to be like the man who's spent the last couple hours with a prostitute. And all of a sudden, in a moment of time, he realizes, my wallet is gone. Maybe some of y'all don't know how it works. I've been ripped off. I've been sold a beautiful package that seemed like it loved me, but in reality, it didn't love me at all, but it's stolen what I had. And the Bible said, take heed to yourself that no man steal your crown. That you hold on to what Jesus has given you. Satan is not going to kick your door in at your house and walk in and say, give me your salvation. No, that's not the way Satan works. Satan works like this. He comes in and sits right beside you. Hey, how you doing? Let's be friends. Let's be friends. And then the next time, he puts his arm around you. We're buddies. I love you. I love you. And if you love me, you would. See, when you look at the dregs of our society, it's like a pimp. Smooth as silk. Words just slide off his tongue. But he ain't got nothing good for you. He's getting ready to take what is most precious from you, and you can never get it back. This is the world. That's what the world really is. It comes in smooth. It comes in silky. It comes in looking like it's something you desire. But what it wants to do is poison you and addict you and pull you out of your right mind that Christ is trying to create within you and get you addicted to something else. Now, whether it's alcohol or whether it's drug or whether it's human dopamine, does not matter. The world is trying to destroy you. It's Satan's great tool. He tried it on Christ. All the kingdoms of this world will I give you. And he's going to try it on you and me. You see the people in Hollywood, the multimillionaires, maybe many of the sports stars, they got money just flowing. We'll take the Hollywood elite. Many of them are now Satanists. Do some research. They're fully Satanist. They have one beautiful young woman, I mean absolutely drop-dead gorgeous, her and her husband drink each other's blood. Do the research. Don't. I'm not lying. I'm not making this up. That's what they do. That's Satanism. And now it's slowly creeping into the educational sector. And they're targeting your babies because your babies don't have a fully developed mind. They're very easily influenced. And they're targeting our children now to get them to embrace the world. Now you grow up embraced. I grew up embracing drugs. I lived the first 28 years of my life as a drug addict. Satan doesn't care what he uses. You take a young child now, I don't know what they're doing, the stuff. They change their sex from a male to a female. And, you know, that child is 22, 23, 24, before they realize this ain't right. Well, you're destroyed now. You're already broken. The world comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And we need to have wisdom and realize that just because it shines. Somebody said, but Pastor, but it's fun. The social media is fun. Well, I know it is. All sin is fun. If it wasn't fun, it wouldn't be a temptation for you. Love not the world. I'll finish with this last verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Again, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of God. What consistency is between you and I, who are temples for the Holy Spirit, and those who are just straw to be burnt in the fires? The only thing you and I can do is let our light shine that they might see the good work of God in our lives and come to Jesus Christ. But we're not to live as they live. For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from amongst them and be ye separate. That's the command, you and I. Come out from amongst them. I don't know whether I've really made a clear statement this morning, but it's important to withdraw from the world. Your television system, your television in your house is the entryway of the world into your home. It's the way, and the glass on the phones, that's the way the world is speaking to you and speaking to your children. And if you sit there dumbfounded and eat the world's garbage, it's going to influence you. You're not that strong. You're not that strong. Amen. You know, as I said, I spent the first 28 years doing drugs. And so, I don't know, last year or the year before, they were doing a procedure on me, and they had to put me to sleep in the hospital. And I said, well, you know, I'm an old school drug addict. I'm going to make sure that I resist this drug, and I'm not going to sleep until I want to. Because I'm that strong. See, I've got experience. The man said, one, two. And I was waking up in recovery. Saints, we're not that strong. We're not that strong. And when this stuff is flooding in, I'm trying to close. You're made of chemicals. Your body operates on chemicals. That's how you function. Your brain works by chemicals. Satan was there when you were created. He knows how you were created. And he knows what to do to release dopamine. And there's few other drugs that you can have that release in your mind that gives you that sensation of well-being. He knows how to do that. And the world right now, Mr. Zuckerberg has made billions of dollars manipulating the dopamine of this country and people around the world. Billions of dollars. Twitter's doing the same thing. And what's coming out next is going to be even stronger. Come out from amongst them, my people, and be you separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself. Thus saith the Lord. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, I've done my very best, Lord, to blow the trumpet in Zion, to sound the alarm in the holy place. God, we ask you for Holy Ghost conviction upon our lives, conviction upon every aspect of our life. Lord, the world comes at us so attractively, so beautifully, so deceptively that sometimes we just do not realize how evil and wicked that is that we've embraced. We ask you right now in Jesus' name, Holy Ghost conviction upon everyone here in the worship room, those that are listening by the webcast this morning, convict our hearts and our lives and help us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us, O God, from every evil way. Father, we come to you right now in Jesus' name. Come on, all over the room. Just lift your hands to heaven. Ask him, Lord, convict me. You can stand if you want to or not. It doesn't matter. Just ask him, Lord, help me today. Help me today. God, sometimes I miss connecting the dots. Sometimes I don't see it as plainly as I ought to. But oh God, I ask you to convict my heart and give me the strength to follow and respond to your conviction. And that I've embraced and that I'm in relationship with that causes my jealous God to be offended. Oh God, help me to draw back. Help me to draw away. That's it. Just reach out to the Lord right now. Just reach out. He loves you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you would give us the word that would warn us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if you do, the love of the Father is not in you. Lord God, let us not walk away from this place the same, but let us make changes, adjustments, to pull away from all that is in this world and to put our attention on Jesus Christ, on your word, on truth. Hallelujah. That we may be prepared for our destination, which is heaven. Pray you touch every heart, every mind, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Wasn't that good? Give God praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I do have a few quick announcements. Just a reminder, if you haven't given, you can do so now. There's all kinds of ways you can give. Also, we are in the time of year where we need some food in our food pantry. So, you guys know what that means. Bring non-perishable foods. You can bring them here, and we'll put them in the food pantry next door. You know, next time you go grocery shopping, just pick a few extra cans up and just bring them to church and help us build up our food pantry for the holiday season. We got Thanksgiving and Christmas, and so we give a lot of food away. So we appreciate all those that give for that. You can see Sister Boyd, Amelia Cavell, or Sister Erica Shorter. Also, we got something coming up. We have a game night coming up this month. At the end of this month, on a Friday, October 28th, we will be having a game night. So we're going to have some fun together and just fellowship as a family. So please join us for the game night. These are always really popular. We have a whole lot of fun. Also, there is going to be sign-up sheets. There's going to be sign-up if you want to attend, just so we can get a head count, because, you know, we'll have some food. We also need people to serve, you know, different areas of the game night, you know, maybe watching some kids or helping set up, helping break down and clean up and things like that. If you're interested in serving, there's a sign-up sheet for that as well out in the lobby. With that, we're done. We want to let you know God bless you. We love you, and we'll see you next time.